from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number 2. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. 99.5 HD2 and YouTube. Good morning, YouTube.
Bring gas.
We cracked a case during commercial break.
You cracked the guy. I didn't crack anything. It's the most random poll anybody has ever given me. We have been wondering something for the last hour. I get a random, yes, I got it. And I'm like, what are you talking
it's
about
been
over
bothering
there?
Bothering me.
And you figured it. I think you cracked the case.
Chris Carlin hosted. He's filling in for the morning show before us on ESPN. And his voice just sounds so familiar to us. Not because we haven't heard of him, just that voice sounds like somebody.
Yes. It sounds like another voice we have heard in a movie, TV show, and we couldn't pinpoint it.
And I got it. And it's from the Christmas Story movie on the radio. Yeah. That guy's voice is Chris Carlin's voice.
Yeah, the guy doing the little Secret Annie or Secret...
The Secret, yeah, Little Orphan Annie.
Little Orphan Annie and the Ovaltine
ring thing, yeah.
And it sounds exactly like his voice.
I got it, man.
Now you got me in the spirit for Christmas. I'm going to go put my tree up today.
It's only a couple months.
Go cut one down. Start
Halloween
decorating.
Season. Spooky season.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Speaking of spooky and scary, yesterday USA almost lost to Serbia.
Almost lost, down by 19 points. Would not have been a good loss. I'm sure we would have handled that one well as a country.
I'm sure people would have felt awful for those
athletes. Lafoni!
Lafoni.
I haven't seen a lot of that.
Captain LaFake. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank God they won.
This is why Jordan's the GOAT.
That's right. He can never be the GOAT. He lost to Serbia in the semifinals.
I love that we pretend that Serbia doesn't have one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen and also another NBA guy on the roster.
Also, just how much more difficult it is to play internationally now as opposed to, you know, 30 years ago when they weren't dominating the NBA.
9 NBA players played internationally against the Dream Team. 65 play internationally against Team USA. This is not 1992.
Exactly. And how many does France difference. Have? Like 5 or 6,
yes.
I think?
Yeah, you got Fournier, you got Wemby, you got Gobert. Who else?
When
Nick
I told
Batum.
You, Nick Batum.
How can you forget Blazer legend, Nick Batum?
Blazer legend.
He was good in that game yesterday.
I know.
Was he?
He was very vital for them.
Role player.
So I want to ask you this before we dive into the action. That was the best basketball game you've watched. This is becoming an interesting debate for people. I did kind of go to the place of how I felt about it. Was that the best basketball game I've watched, given the stakes, since Game 7, Cleveland, Golden State? Now, that's probably being a little hyperbolic, But there are people that felt that way because if we lost, like, we're playing for bronze. This team is playing for bronze.
Major disappointment.
Massive upset city, 16-point favorites, losing to Serbia. And by the way, not just losing, they were getting their asses handed to them by Serbia. They couldn't miss a three-point shot. And I don't know where I've come on that, you know, thought of best basketball game, but it's certainly in the running for best I've seen since Game 7.
I think you need the unique combination of storyline, the what's at stake, and then a quality game to go with it. And I don't know how many games in the NBA have matched those three criteria. Like, of course you have had a better game at some point in the early playoffs or in the regular season.
We had Game 7, Denver-Minnesota this year.
Sure, it was a huge comeback, and they were down by 20 in the first half, and they dug out of the hole. But if I remember correctly, that ended up being kind of a runaway double-digit win. They ended up winning the game by, 20, didn't they? They won
going away.
Well,
I think they were down 20, and then they came back in the second half, and Denver didn't do anything.
Couldn't respond at all, and they just kind of blew them out of the gym in the second half. You have to have that perfect storm. There have been better individual games, but game 70 of the regular season does not have the same implications as a semifinal game to go to the gold medal game in the Olympics or a game 7 of the NBA Finals. I was just scrolling through the last handful, because I think it has to be an NBA Finals game to match the stakes that were at on display yesterday. This year in the NBA Finals, not even close. Not a game that stands out. I can hardly remember any of them. The year before, same thing. We had back-to-back five-game series with Denver and Boston winning. You had the Curry game in Boston. I remember vividly of him going off. Was that Game 3 or Game 4 when they won that series?
That was Game 4.
Game 4.
That tied it 2-2.
That was the one that I was like, I remember that being a big deal. And they were down in the series, and he got hot, very similar to what happened yesterday.
Yep.
Kind of carry them to a win. That was a great game. The year before, Milwaukee-Phoenix was an interesting series, but I don't remember one of them being an all-time classic game. And then you had the COVID year. And so I don't think it's outlandish to say that's the best basketball game that we've seen since Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 2016.
Yeah, if you don't want to comp it to the NBA, it certainly is the best Olympic game since the 2008 gold medal game with Spain and America. And we were trying to, that was the redeem team.
The Gasols and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a young Ricky Rubio. You had the Gasol brothers.
Rudy Fernandez.
Rudy Fernandez. Mm-hmm. That was, I'll never forget. I think I woke up, I want to say that game was kind of early in America.
Yeah,
I forget where. Well, 2008 was it Greece?
I think so.
I forget where the 2008 Olympics were, but I remember it being a fairly early game.
Beijing.
Oh, Beijing.
2008
okay.
was Beijing.
So you had to, I think you wake up pretty early for that one. I was at my buddy's house watching that with him, and we were just gripping our couch because it's like, dude, we got bronze in 2004.
Yeah, Kobe running through Pau Gasol on the first set of the game, setting a tone immediately.
Yep, that was
against
great.
His LA teammate.
We had Olympic Melo.
We did. That was the peak of Olympic Melo.
That was the last time I remember feeling that in the Olympics with basketball because we've largely been taking care of business. But the international pool's gotten more talented. And just watching that, I don't know about you. Swag asked me this before the show. Did I ever doubt it? Dwayne Wade on the broadcast call, I know he's kind of polarizing for people, and he asked Noah Eagle at the end when they were celebrating Bron and Steph, and he goes, "Were you worried, partner?" And Dwayne's like, "Neither was I." Dude, they were down 15 down 15 with 11 seconds left in the third. I was terrified they were losing that basketball game.
Outscored them by 17 in the fourth quarter.
I love Steph. He was great. Katie, I know who they had. And it wasn't a give up. It was just, did I actually think they were lose? I did. They couldn't miss a shot.
No.
We were not playing good basketball. The bench had 6 points. So, yes, I did think they were going to lose that basketball game.
All the criticisms occur. Coaching, wondering, is this actually going to come to an end earlier than we all imagined? It would have been a massive disappointment, despite the talent that exists on Serbia's roster. This is a team, men's basketball, women's basketball have one standard and one standard only, and that is gold medal or bust. You don't get any sort of hey, that's good. You want a silver. Hey, you want a bronze. You have championship or bust, and anything short of that is a massive failure and a massive disappointment. I think that has to weigh on them the further they go in this tournament of knowing there's only one outcome here that's acceptable for the entire country, at least for the people who are actually rooting for the team to win, and that is you have to win. And so I think when you find yourself down, that pressure is massive. Serbia, to a certain extent, is playing with nothing to lose because nobody's expecting them to win. They're down by 16. And so it's this us against the world mentality where Team USA comes out a little tight. Serbia can't miss in the first quarter. And you're like, oh, God, we're already in a hole. You're down by 19 in the first half. You have to slightly dig out of it. But then you still have a massive deficit going into the fourth quarter that you have to crawl out of. It was an incredible back-and-forth basketball game. The second half of that game was great. And Steph Curry, when he gets on that kind of run that he was on.
That was his first one of the Olympics.
First one of the Olympics.
Largely the entire turn. Like, even in the friendlies, that was really his first explosion.
He is up there of the most entertaining and enjoyable athletes to ever watch when he gets into that zone. Because there's just nothing that you can do when he's making shots from all over the floor and he's 9 of 14 from 3. Double team him, doesn't matter. He's going around a screen, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Catching it off of a screen, you know, pinned down screen, whatever. Like, when he gets into that moment and into that zone, there's not many athletes in the world that I would rather watch get hot, and it was just fun and enjoyable to have it one time, not have him do that in the Moda Center against the Blazers in a big game where we actually think we could beat Golden State. Instead, he's on a team that I'm rooting for, and I'm getting to enjoy and cheer on all the threes that he's making.
I'm actually surprised the amount of people that are asking out loud or saying, like, oh man, I can't believe I'm rooting for so-and-so. I've never had this. In 2008, when it was the Redeem Team and Kobe's kind of leading that thing, I did not like Kobe. I rooted against Kobe his whole career.
Yes, you had to.
I didn't one time during that Olympics question it or get mad if he was the star player. Mm-hmm. I'm USA all the way. Like, I don't care what team you play for. Even KD, who we've been largely critical of since he decided to join the Warriors and kind of how everything's gone for him in his NBA career, I don't hold an ounce of, oh, man, it's hard to root for this guy. I never possess that with these teams. I find it a little weird that people do, that they're like, oh, man, it's so hard to root for this guy. And I'm like, why? They're on the same team. What are we doing here?
It's the one time where you put all of that stuff aside. And it's not hard for me to root for them. It's just, it's a moment of, because I have a severe problem as a sports fan of being incredibly jealous. And when I watch other cities or other teams or organizations have success, there's just a jealousy that comes out. You're like, God, I want that, man. I want to experience what that is like. Mm. And it's not hard for me to root for Steph. It's just the realization of, God, this is fun. Getting to root for Steph is fun because he's so damn good when he's making shots like that. And it's like, how cool would that be to be a Warrior fan and get to watch that happen like 37 times a year? That's the Steph Curry that you get with him going off in a big game and knocking down threes. It's just it's a moment of freedom as a fan of, I don't feel jealous. He's finally on the team that I get to root for.
How much are they down if he doesn't have 17 first quarter points?
I mean, they lose that game by 15 if he doesn't show. Maybe somebody else fills in the void, but they were
who? We watched the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why.
There's like four
nobody
guys.
Nobody else is showing up, man.
Four players. And look, I want to give Holiday a little credit. I thought he was fine in spurts. Devin Booker was a kind of an unsung hero to some extent, but like largely that game was four players. Four. And he, just from a points output standpoint, the most important, because if he doesn't get off to that hot start, they're probably down 25 points after the first quarter. They were as flat as you could be, and Serbia could not miss. That guy banking threes in. Abramovich could not miss. Like, they were just on fire, and we couldn't buy a bucket outside of Steph Curry.
We're firing Steve Kerr for that one?
Let's talk about that. I thought he was easily the worst thing of that game yesterday. Kevin Durant was some good perspective yesterday in the postgame. Let's get to some more Team USA stuff, and then we'll pivot into college football. LSU is the daily ticker today. And they're number 21 on the dirty poll. More Team USA talk next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Said this in the first hour, but we got this tweet. My pet peeve is the hatred for Team USA from the old heads who root against our current team. So they can point and go, see, Jordan and the Dream Team would have blown out Serbia by 30. No, they wouldn't.
No.
No.
They would not.
Can you have some perspective here? Would they have won? Maybe, probably.
Probably would have won,
but
yes.
Can we have a little more perspective than, hey, this ain't Angola in 1992?
Yeah. Slightly different.
My God.
Slightly different.
You want to see Patrick Ewing try to guard
Jokic? Would have eaten him alive. Dream ate him alive. You don't think Jokic would have been eating him alive? It's just,
I mean, he might be the best player in the NBA. He might be the best player in the world.
There's no might. He is. He definitely is. There's a lot of angles to this. I thought Steve Kerr was atrocious.
I agree with you.
Your substitution patterns were awful. Stop. You know that scene in Mean Girls? Stop making fetch a thing. Like, that's kind of what I was thinking with Kerr in his second unit. We were down six. He takes out all our key players, puts in all the scrubs. They did nothing all game. Oh, balloons back to 15.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, dude. Didn't try Tatum once.
No.
Look, Derek White. No. I like Derek White. I think he's a good player. He's been largely good for them. He was, for me, the worst.
Yes.
He went under every screen. He had no idea what he's doing offensively. Like, that's the point where I'm like, okay, Tatum. You're 6'9", get your ass in there and try to be something defensively, be a playmaker, not even a try.
I didn't even put him in.
I thought Kerr was really bad yesterday.
I do find it a little bit comical that Tatum isn't playing and he's butthurt and he doesn't want to play in 28 now and he's all frustrated.
He didn't say that.
I know,
Bill Simmons
I know.
Just throwing stuff against a wall.
I do find it funny because I think Tatum's one of the more overrated players in the NBA. So there is a slight chuckle internally.
So does Steve Kerr.
So does Steve Kerr. But to your point about Derek White, I remember that being the takeaway when they announced he was the replacement for Kawhi of like, Derek White is where we're going? And now the guy is playing minutes in a semifinal game and he's atrocious when he's on the floor. He played 7 minutes yesterday and he was a sieve out there. There were some funny tweets that did exist. One of them was basically like a light bulb moment of like Steve Kerr realizing I could play my five best players at the same time.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, you can do that during an Olympic game. And then also one that made me chuckle was somebody sending out a thing saying, I'm convinced the only reason they won that game was because Team USA stopped listening to Steve Kerr and started listening to Melo on the baseline yelling at 100%. Them what to do. And Coach Melo was the guy that got him over the hump in the second half of that game.
So it's a nice reminder, I think, of people our age, maybe a little younger, and then of Swag's age that have gotten to watch this era of Bron, Steph, KD, and it was noted like, not in the playoffs and, you know, how much we kind of miss that. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't like those guys, you get mad about them being comped to all-time greats, whatever the points are. It's crazy to say this of just without them, we're not close. And, no. And you're reminded
at this point in their career, that shouldn't be the case.
From a talent standpoint and depth, we have the most for sure. Did you watch Ann Edwards?
Didn't
that,
do much.
That guy didn't play in the NCAA tournament. And yesterday, he got a glimpse of what that life is like. And it's like, oh my God, this is a one and done.
Yeah.
There is no tomorrow if you lose. You just see guys tighten up. And I thought you said it really well. Serbia played with nothing to lose. They played with an air of confidence. They'd gotten their asses handed to them twice by America. And they went out there and they said, enough of this. And they made adjustments. Their screen games were awesome yesterday. They got good looks and they drained all of their shots. And you saw really good NBA players, all NBA guys, tighten up, look nervous, mm-hmm. play that way. And Bron in the fourth quarter, KD at the end of the game, and Steph in the first quarter and the end of the game, you saw those three players. And let's give Joel Embiid his proper credit
here. Joel Embiid had a good game yesterday.
Embiid was a factor in the game.
Yes, he was.
At the start of that second half, they were down double. He hit back-to-back shots.
Yep.
I did find it funny. He had a big moment. Jokic had the offensive foul call. He went nuts.
Oh, he set a wipeout screen for Curry's three to go ahead.
He did. I did find it funny, though. He got a little excited, and he had the turnover with, like, 3 minutes to go. They didn't go to him the rest of the game. In fact, KD waved him away on the screen.
Get out, get out, get out. Well, there were a couple of times
he didn't know. He did set, and somebody called that play for Curry because he knew. But a lot of times when they were
But he
just,
went the wrong way. I think he got in the way.
He was
of it.
Having a hard time figuring out where to go, who wanted a ball screen, who didn't want a ball screen when it was like KD and LeBron out there, and he was having a hard time to figure out where to go.
Absolutely. But he had a huge game for himself, and he's had a rough Olympics too. He had a DNP. And so it's just watching them be carried. And man, that tweet is right. I watched that game. Kerr just seemed a little clueless. I like Spo to be the head coach going forward in 28. Melo literally told them, was screaming at them what to do on the Kevin Durant shot. Bron was dribbling. He was pointing for Steph to go screen for KD, telling Bron, give KD the ball. And then he got out of there and just told him, go get it. And he did.
It was hilarious to see. He should be the coach. And it's just a reminder sometimes of Steve Kerr is a good NBA coach.
He
has been for a long time. But also your success and your standing in that world is a byproduct of the randomness of the job that you get. And if him getting hired to be the head coach of the Golden State Warriors and then getting Kevin Durant to join them in free agency, I know they won a title before and they won a title after Kevin Durant. But it is led by the players that he's been able to coach. And if you take that away in years they've lost that, they've been one of the worst teams in the NBA and they were bounced again early this year and couldn't go on a deep run. I think your point about those three guys, the older guys, there's an appreciation there for me with this Olympics. I haven't watched a ton of it. Yesterday, it's like semifinals. I'm going to watch this game. I don't have much going on. There's an appreciation of this era of Team USA basketball, and so much of this turns into controversy and this era versus that era. And 92 was better. This year was better. This team was better. I hate getting wrapped into that kind of stuff. I don't know what team was better. I don't know who was better.
They'll never play.
It's a stupid argument. It's a dumb thing to waste your time on. I'm just appreciating what's in front of me. And these guys have been incredible Team USA players. Kevin Durant's the all-time leading scorer, if I'm not mistaken.
Isn't he the rebounder, too?
And LeBron is leading this team at the age of 40, which I have brought up multiple times in this Olympics. It just blows my mind
Probably
every
the
time
MVP
I say
of the tournament.
It. MVP of the tournament. Yeah. Steph has been one of the faces of the league now, and he went off and saved them in a semifinal game yesterday. It's one of the legendary
Devin
performances.
Booker's
from him.
Had his moments.
Yeah.
Booker's had his
huge,
moments.
Huge three yesterday after that foul with the three they hit.
The one guy I was expecting more from, and I'm curious, is Ant.
It's like the West Finals. It looks like it's a little bit of a big stage for him, and he's had some moments, but he had a rough game yesterday. They couldn't play him at the end of that thing.
What I was going to say was I think this is like the end of an era for this group of basketball players.
Definitely
now, I don't know what the future holds for Steph, for KD, and LeBron, and maybe one of them will win another title, but we went through it in the postseason this year. This was the first time in like 20 years that you didn't have one of them in the second round of the playoffs. And you saw, to a certain extent, some of the ratings dip a little bit. I think because of that, they have been the three faces of the sport rightfully or wrongfully, for the last 15 to 20 years. LeBron deserves it. Steph's won titles. And KD, for all he's accomplished in joining the Warriors. So you have this trio of older guys who are now older than anybody ever was on the 92 team. And probably LeBron playing in his last Olympics. He's going to be 44.
No, it definitely is.
So he's done. Yeah. Kevin Durant might, I don't know where he's going to be.
It's it for all three of them.
It very well could be. And so there's just an appreciation of what they've done, the players that they've been, and having a chance to go win one more gold when this era is going to be gone before we know it, and then it will be the next cycle of young guys that steps up.
When they had some barking moments with Bogey in the second half, and it kind of got, they had that little like mini, you know, scuffle go on or whatever it was going into the timeout. You know, the thing about LeBron is there is such a trust. Like, this dude is, he's the most debated athlete of our lifetime. It's not even close. And I watch this dude and I'm like, they need something bad. And he comes out and he gives it to
you. Here's
them.
A play.
And he just play after play. He had a triple-double yesterday, and you can make an argument for any three or four players for MVP because they were all so huge at different moments, but he guarded Jokic at the end.
He did.
He had the breakaway layup to give him the lead. I actually feel bad for people that have just spent their whole sports lives in this dude's career crapping on him because dare somebody suggest he's as good at basketball as Michael Jeffrey Jordan. A lot of you are going to look back, and maybe you won't have any regret. A lot of you are, though, and you just spent your whole sports life rooting against this dude because, God forbid, ESPN watch his high school game.
Yes.
And I thank God for him yesterday. They lose that game
they do.
Without LeBron James. Kevin Durant, I thought, had the best perspective. He was eating dinner with his mom at the hotel restaurant, and he was asked about just this moment. They have the gold medal game on Saturday, Kobe Bryant
Day.
What
time Saturday?
Noon?
Okay.
It'll be noon our time, so get to the TV by 11:45. He was asked about that moment of coming back and beating Serbia.
Come on, man. How can you not celebrate a win like that? Look at all our families. Look at this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what this is about. You know what I mean? We all come together as one on the other side of the world like this. Start USA chants. Our section start USA. Man, it's special tonight, man. So we got to celebrate. I'm not going to act like it's not. You know what I mean? I know we want to win a gold, but we got to celebrate the small moments, too. Guarantee you, everybody here, they'll never forget about this night. Everybody here will remember this night for the rest of their lives. That's how special this is. And because we came back and we showed how together we were in that fourth quarter. It was incredible.
I can't wait to see what they do Saturday. I don't think they're going to have the same start. And France is a tough team. I didn't think they'd beat Germany yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But damn. I'd love to watch them just blow the French team out in France for the gold.
The last two things I got on this. One, on your LeBron points, I agree, and I find it incredibly ironic that this is happening when he is 40 years old. He's supposed to be done. This isn't mathematically supposed to happen. It is simultaneously happening at the same time as somebody who built his entire career off calling him a phony and not Michael Jordan has been booted off television because nobody watches or cares what he has to say anymore. And he has largely built this anti-LeBron culture for some in the basketball and sports world for the last 20 years. And he made a career out of it. And now he's on his ass out of a job because nobody cares about what his idiot ass has to say. So I'm finding that incredibly ironic. The other thing was Joel Embiid deserves his spot on Team USA after his antics after the game.
So good.
Him egging on the French crowd,
them the
and doing the suck it to him as he's walking off the floor, getting ready to play him in a gold medal game. Like he can have a spot on the team, man. I'm all for that.
I hope they win by 30 points. Oh, I hope they do it. I'm just glad they came back and didn't lose to Serbia.
Yep.
So that was a lot of fun yesterday watching that Team USA game. I was on my couch just screaming. I was angry. I hated every player on Serbia's roster, and I went nuts when they had to come back and they won. Let's pivot out of hoops. Let's go to college football. LSU is number 21 on your top 25 dirty poll. Shea Dixon of On3 Bengal Tiger joins us for the preview next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Friday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. The Dirty Pole makes it to number 21, and we go down to Baton Rouge to preview the LSU Tigers. Joining us now is Shea Dixon, at Shea Dixon on Twitter. You can go give him a follow.
Go Tiger.
Covering LSU for On3. Shea, good morning to you, man. Thanks for the time all the way out here in Portland. So I come up with this preseason top 25 every year. It's a fun way for us to preview the college football season and go to these different areas and hear what the teams and the expectations are thinking. I had a really hard time with LSU. I know where they were the last couple of years. You have a Heisman Trophy winner. I know Brian Kelly's history. So I'm going to start with 21. Fair, unfair? Where do you have LSU in the landscape right now?
I'm glad that I didn't know where you had them, because when you said 21, that's pretty much the inverse of where everybody's got them, around 12 or 13. I think fair. Look, we can dive into the conversation with this. They were the number one offense in college football. When you lose, it reminds me a lot of the 2019 LSU team, right? At least this discussion of if you're the best team, quote unquote, one of them, throw the Miami's early 2000s in there, and you know you can debate these best college teams in the modern era. Well, that 2019 team was one of them. Well, when 2020 comes around, everybody says, well, how good is LSU going to be? Well, they're not going to be that good, because you have to go backwards from there. You can't stay as the best of all time 2 years in a row. So, do I think they're going to have the number one offense in college football again? No. I think that when you lose a Heisman Trophy winner and number two overall pick and two first-round receivers, that naturally you take a step back. Mm-hmm. But defense is where everything went sideways, right? Like, how good would LSU have been last year had they not had the 113th defense out of 133 college teams? I mean, Jaden Daniels was bailing them out time and again. Think about it. They went to Ole Miss and put up 700 yards and 50 points and lost. So that was something, when you think of LSU, you don't think of. I mean, you can all remember the Les Miles teams. You know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Well, they played defense. They might not score a bunch, but they played defense and they won games. Well, I don't think LSU fans are living in some alternate reality now where they've got quarterbacks who win the Heisman Trophy, but they can't play defense. So Brian Kelly fired everyone on that side of the ball and brought in a new staff, a lot of familiar faces, proven guys. So I think the goal here is, if you can stay in the top 25 in offense, you don't have to be one, but let's say top 25, and you can get, let's say, into the top 60 in defense and not be 113, be inside the top 100, be inside the top 75. Well, that's better than being, I think, number one offense and the worst defense out there. So putting it together, I kind of come right back to not just like the first two seasons. It's a 9-win team, maybe, yeah, shot at 10. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of right where Vegas has them. So I think anywhere in the top 25 is fair. And look, we'll see right out of the gates. They lost to Florida State in back-to-back seasons to kick off the year, starting 0-1 these past two seasons. Now they get USC out in Vegas. And I, my opinion, I think those Florida State teams are better than this USC team. So this is a chance for LSU to get a win over a top 25 team and then start to shoot it out on the right foot. And if they do that, then they can kind of move into that second month of play, being a top 15, 10 team in the country, whether you're ranking them 12 right now or 22 or 3.
I find it interesting, them, because we've talked about like how we view them going into the year, and you're making a lot of valid points. I think the interesting for me is Brian Kelly's transfer portal, the defense failing so badly last year for them and not coming up with the right plays at the right time. How have you gauged the NIL transfer portal world for LSU? Do you find that Brian Kelly, it seems like he wants to do more recruiting and kind of pivot out of the portal? How do you gauge what he has been in the portal so far and how LSU's collective is handling the NIL transfer portal?
Yeah, look, I mean, the collective really, they brought Austin Thomas back from, he was at Ole Miss, running the Groves Collective, but they brought him back, and he's been heavily involved in the GM role, but also in the collective, and they've got things at least on good footing there. They're not going to be in Oregon. They're not going to be in Texas or in Miami. But they'll be able to compete, as evidenced by they have the number three recruiting class in the country right now. They've gotten some big wins on the recruiting trail. They have the best player in America, a high school recruit committed in Bryce Underwood. So, and he's not from Louisiana. He's from Michigan. So, I mean, let's go ahead and take a gander that he's got a nice NIL deal. And so they're not non-existent there, which is good. I think that what Brian Kelly wants to do is the right thing, and he's not in the Dabo camp, but it's, if we're going to sustain a program, and I think a lot of people view Ole Miss this year as, hey, Lane Kiffin went all out in the portal to get into the playoffs and win. It's like, win now. Well, Brian Kelly says, how do we sustain it? How do you build it year after year? And when he took over this team, they had 30-something scholarship players when Ed Orgeron left. So they are still rebuilding that. I mean, they just have 85 scholarship players here recently. And it's funny enough, they bumped the scholarships to 110. So Brian Kelly's got more work to do. He thought 85 was the number. But I think that's a reason. You look at, when you say struggles the past two seasons, they still won 10 games. But down here, as Will Kimball made the quote, at LSU starting left tackle, 10 games will get you fired. So yeah. Kind of up it a little bit. And I think they're in a spot where Brian Kelly does want to say, hey, look, let's patch up positions in the portal and put Jaden Daniels as portal guy. So he won't be anti-portal, but you can't build the roster that way. And I think that they really got snake bitten through the portal of missing on supplies. They got into that spring portal where the, you know, quote-unquote asking price on guys was way beyond what the value of that player would have been. And that made them realize you can't do kind of, don't bank on anything in the spring portal, get it all done in the first one. But his goal is sign 25 to 30 high school players, sign about 5 to 7 transfers. And he feels if you can stick to that, then you can develop guys well enough to where you're really not reliant on the portal. And it's more so sort of icing on the cake. And we'll see if the strategy works. But look, we've known forever that if you recruit Louisiana well, you recruit East Texas, South Mississippi. These LSU teams have always been built that way and will continue to be top contenders.
Yeah, interesting team this year, man. I'm with you on the USC take. I think that's a winnable game for them in the opener in Vegas. You get Ole Miss at home. You get Alabama at home. You get Oklahoma at home. So some of your tougher games are in Baton Rouge. It's going to be an interesting season, year three, for Brian Kelly down there at LSU. Shea Dixon, covering LSU for On3. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Shea Dixon. Thanks for the time all the way out here in Portland, man. The preview on LSU, we appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. I hope you guys have a great day.
You too. Shea Dixon, really good stuff from him on LSU. Sorry, the connection wasn't great there.
I don't know. I honestly didn't. I couldn't understand anything.
Yeah, it was not a great connection. They were so bad defensively last year that you feel like the argument would be there's only one direction that you could go, and that would be up. Well, they fired their entire staff.
Yeah.
The D coordinator, all the assistant, like all the a clean house with everybody.
Yep.
And I this is where I find them interesting, is that they are, I think most people would argue, going to regress offensively because Jaden Daniels was incredibly talented. He's a great college quarterback. He won the damn Heisman Trophy. So even if Nussmeier is a good player.
Also lost two receivers in also Neighbors lost, and Thomas.
Exactly. Two very, very talented wide receivers. And so you would just imagine there's a slight regression there. If you don't fill that gap with the other side of the ball.
Right.
I don't know where you go.
Like it's 8-3, 9-4. That seems to me logical. 10 wins would shock me, actually, I think, with LSU.
I think 10 wins would be, if you get through, so the early schedule, I think they're going to beat USC in Vegas. That's a hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take. They're favored. Yeah. They very well could. I also kind of curious to see what USC is year one with their new defense.
Yeah, very similar teams. It's funny that they're playing. Then you go Nichols, then you go at South Carolina, then you go UCLA at home. UCLA is going down to Baton
Rouge. Probably 4-0 there,
and then South Alabama. So those are your first five games. So if you get through USC, you're likely sitting there at 5-0. You got some confidence. And I mentioned, you get Ole Miss at home, you get Alabama at home, and you get Oklahoma in the last game of the year at home.
And you're at Florida, you're at A&M in Oklahoma, you mentioned.
And I don't know how good Florida's going to be this year, and I don't know how good A&M's going to be this year. So there's just, you can find your way maybe where you don't have to play. I think most people would argue at the start of the year, the two best teams in the SEC, again, this is preseason projection, the two best teams are Alabama and Texas, or excuse me, Georgia and Texas, and you don't have to play either of them. They're not on your schedule. And so I find them very interesting. Most preseason magazines have them 12 or 13. Yep. I'm a little bit cooler on LSU just because
I get it. I get it.
And I, you know, they'll push back on the notion of disappointing with Brian Kelly because they won double digit games, but that's just one of those programs that has championship expectations year in and year out.
They just won one like, what, yes, 4 or 5 years ago?
Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow. That wasn't that long ago, man. That was 2019 when they won that title. So, interesting year down in LSU. I got some more college football I want to get to. Are we ready to hear this nonstop for the next 6 months? Because it's coming to a living room near you. We'll get to that next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll get to some NFL stuff coming up top of the hour. Are you ready for a preseason week one primer? You ready? You ready? It's a game I am irrationally excited to watch today.
Yeah. The most exciting game is Saturday.
Okay.
We'll I don't think that. Really?
We'll get to that.
There's not a debate.
I'm going to debate you on this.
We'll see who's
You're
playing.
You're an idiot.
Who's playing in your game? Who's
You're
playing in
dumbass,
my game?
Dumbass, man.
I am, yeah. That's true.
Are you ready to hear this song over and over and over and over again for the next 6 months? So every year, I love how this like gets announced and becomes a thing, even though not every conference is on this network anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns into a storyline in August of college football. What song is ESPN and ABC going to choose to play for college football all year?
I never think about this, actually. I don't think about it until somebody tweets out, hey, this is the song.
We picked the song.
Okay, all right.
I've seen that Fallout Boy NBC Peacock commercial or Big Ten Peacock commercial a bunch. I've seen that one. This is going to be the ESPN anthem all year with college football. How do we feel?
It is back.
The most electrifying thing.
Welcome to a new era of college football.
I light every bridge I see here just to watch it burn. You seen all the hell I seen, it make your stomach turn, I think you know.
We introduce the next head football coach.
We got a potential superstar on our hands.
We ain't coming no more.
We back!
This place is gonna rock!
I could tell some stories about some things you won't believe.
14 to 12.
College football is completely different.
We're gonna see a lot of unexpected things happen.
I might hurt a little.
All right, do you know who that is?
I only know it because I saw it.
If you didn't see it, you wouldn't have been able to say who that was.
No. Not for $50.
No. I don't think I would have been able to either.
Now, look.
And he's technically in it. I think he's supposed... Is Jelly Roll a country singer?
Technically, yes.
I think so.
He falls in that category?
CMT Awards.
Okay.
That sounds like a ripoff of Adele.
Yeah, kind of a Rolling in the Deep ripoff a little bit. It does, yeah.
I didn't even think about that till you said that. Yeah. Now, all I can hear is Rolling in the. Okay,
I have nothing against Jelly Roll. I've never listened to Jelly Roll. I don't know any Jelly Roll songs.
He's a great story.
He's a great story.
It's like a redemption and his career, and like that's cool.
Yeah,
seems like a good dude. I've seen a couple things of like interviews where he's been in.
He had one at a concert recently. I saw one viral where he got a cancer patient sitting in the front row, like
does
with
great
an IV
things.
Drip, and was like, "Get this person a couch. What are we doing?"
I am not familiar at all with his music,
mm-hmm.
and I'll
Does it
say,
get you going? Does it get your blood pumping a little bit?
It's a fine anthem.
Uh-huh.
If you told me that's the sports anthem, I'd say, is most of the most important things in that sport in Alabama, Mississippi, Texas? Because that's what you are playing to the crowd. People in New York City aren't watching college football.
That doesn't build angst and drama. I'd go back to some Imagine Dragons before that.
Ooh, you want Imagine Dragons back?
That's a hot take.
Wow.
Jelly Roll's the hottest thing in Well, in some people's lives.
Now, to your point about the pocket of the country, what conference is now playing on ABC and ESPN? Did they spend billions of dollars for?
That's the SEC. It just means
they're playing SEC. They don't have Indiana games on ABC anymore. They're just playing Kentucky versus Florida.
Now, last year, correct me, wasn't it Post Malone?
I don't remember.
And we debated if Post Malone was okay for college football.
Is he rambunctious enough? Is he hyped enough?
This is perfect for the crowd.
Yeah,
is what I would say. I'm not crapping on the song. I never heard it. Song. And again, I don't know enough.
I heard
Jelly
the beat
Roll.
And underneath it, and then he started singing. And the first thing I thought of is, did he get okay from Adele? From
yeah,
rolling
let's listen.
In the
I'm gonna play just the start of it. You got to go through the whole college football. You know the voices. I love how Stephen A. Smith is in this. The guy who doesn't watch a second of college football.
Oh, don't worry, he'll give the takes.
Let's get his thought. Yeah. That's gonna be a transformer season. So let's hear. Because I now that you said that, I'm kind of hearing it as well, and I'm wondering if he's going to get sued for this.
Oh, even got sued?
The most electrifying thing.
I'm assuming this is his biggest song.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Every bridge I see here just to watch it burn. I hear it, and I think it's different.
I think it's more the beat for me that sounds like Rolling in the Deep than the singing.
It's the beat.
It's the guitar strum.
Yes.
Feels like it's a... We got a star on our hands. So that's going to be in your living room every
Saturday.
Can't
wait for him and Mad Dog to debate college football.
Coming up in two weeks we start. That's going to be on your TV every Saturday until January. They're the home of the college football playoff. You're going to get that for the semifinal games, kit and caboodle.
Can I ask you, when did the music for like the commercial breaks become big news for people? When did that become a thing?
I don't know.
I feel like we knew the music was there, but we didn't really talk or think of talk. You know, we didn't express how we felt about it.
Yeah, but how much will that be in like all the little social media highlight trailers and all that sort of stuff? I think this is more about social media where you're...
Yeah, and their commercials leading, like, because they have those like Saturday night, 5 o'clock, Notre Dame's playing, blah, 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 and they have this music playing
but
underneath
don't
the
we become annoyed when it's the same song for the whole season? Like, don't we eventually like, hey,
I think it all started with Monday Night Football way back when.
Having a theme song. You got to have a
theme
song.
They had something identifiable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jelly Roll's your guy.
You know, I'm indifferent. It's fine. It's a catchy enough tune for me to
not. That does not get my blood moving.
Does it get your blood moving?
Do you need your blood moving for your commercial breaks or your intros?
Well, to get you hyped about the sport or a game or something. It's like it's game time.
Does college football just need its own like...
And Imagine Dragons does that for you? All of their songs are just specific Imagine Dragons songs.
Well, I was just saying I would take whatever the Imagine Dragons ones they used a couple years ago over that.
Yeah.
Like, I would have gone back to that rather than this.
I'm not saying
that's my all-time pantheon, but...
Right. I do enjoy at least because they have had years where they've chosen like an actual country song. And I love country music. It does not scream fired up for a football game.
Well, you don't know about Jelly Roll, so I'm kind of wondering your country music stuff.
I like pockets of country music, not all of it. I'm not a big poppy country guy, and he sounds a little poppy country. Not that that was a bad song. I might have thrown it on my playlist, on my golf list.
Okay.
But they've had country songs in the past that have been like true country songs. And you're like, I mean, I get what you're trying to do here, but it just doesn't fit. I'm with Swag. I need a little more juice, a little more tempo. And so at least this falls into that category. It's not perfect, but I'm not against it.
Why not just do Creed, Take Me Higher?
Let me take her higher.
Dude, if you played that in the background of a Texas touchdown in Alabama, it just is jacked.
He said, call me when the CW anthem comes out. You're damn right,
yeah,
bitch.
Brother.
I did see this yesterday, so I guess the Rangers were at the White House. Speaking of Creed, they were doing
the
championship thing. They were at the White House yesterday, and they remember had Creed was like their anthem throughout the playoffs. And I guess they had like the White House Orchestra. I don't know if they did it. I think the White House did it on their own. The White House Orchestra played a Creed song in as the orchestra as they walked out.
Can I tell you one thing, not to get too political?
Yeah, what do you got? We got to go.
The one thing I would say about this administration versus the previous, I at least the previous knew what they fed the athletes is a lot of McDonald's because, you know, nothing says top of the line
McDee's.
Food like McDeezy's. What are they feeding these athletes? I feel like that's not a thing anymore.
It's not a story anymore.
So is it just too good a food? It's like steak and lobster.
Yeah, it's probably just some sort of buffet, I would
just
imagine.
Just amazing cooked food.
Really good food.
man, the spread of just seeing all of that McDonald's,
Popeyes, and Taco Bell, and
there was
Chick-fil-A.
Nothing more American, I think, that summed up our country than that.
I just saw the I'm gonna orchestra playing Creed. I'm for that. That should be the college football anthem for the 2024 year.
I'll do a poll question. Who do you want as the anthem?
You want
Jelly
a Bridgerton score for college football this year?
Let's get kinky. You know, come on,
Black Eyed Peas. Imagine Dragons.
Peace, no.
Let's get it started.
Let's get it started.
Come on.
Don't play that in
that
a sporting
was the peak
event
of the NBA.
Ever again, please, for the love of God. We got a lot to get to.
In the final hour
of the show. Coming up at 8:30, we'll spring the line. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Let's start with your weekend preview of week one of the preseason in the NFL. That's next on The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.